Today's Hour of Studio 360 was originally broadcast in 2009.
I'm Kurt Anderson, and this is a special edition of
Studio 360 in Japan!
Roland Keltz has written extensively about Japan's influence on American pop culture. He is the author of the book Japan America. His mom is Japanese, and although he grew up mainly in the U.S., as a child, he regularly trekked back and forth to the mother country.
My friends were kind of envious that I had these wild masks and manga from this faraway country that was so much wilder than Spider-Man.
On these trips with his mother, Roland became entranced by the city.
Because Tokyo was so safe, she would just let me run. You know, she would be seeing her former classmates and old buddies, and I would just be running through this amazing city with all this color and light and all these fantastic electronic stores.
Wow.
And I loved all the synthesizers in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd go home with
these synthesizers. At the dawn of the synthesizer.
Exactly, yeah, right. So it was definitely thrilling. And it was kind of like my little secret.
Where are we? Where have you brought me?
We're now in Akihabara, which is more or less the ground zero of Japanese pop culture and electronics. You know, the hippest anime and manga are being sold, in some cases produced. And at the same time, you can find the latest cell phone gadget. So it's ground zero also for otaku culture, the culture of Japanese hyper-obsessive geeks. The actual concept of otaku is from an essay that was written in, I think, the early 1980s.
Is that right?
Yes. And otaku actually roughly translates as hello, sir. And the reason it was used for these geeks is that they rarely made eye contact with each other, but they would see each other in the same stores and locations. So because they were so shy, they wouldn't say each other's names. They would more or less kind of look away but say, hello, sir, acknowledging, you know, the presence of the other, but not really having a conversation.
Should we walk? So, at first glance, what I would call this is a toy store.
Yeah, you'd think, but these are people who take toys very, very seriously.
Well, it's so a toy store with no one under probably 21 in the place.
Right, exactly. Yes, here you can actually see otaku types firsthand.
What? This is cool.
Yeah.
This is like dollhouse furniture
from
like every era imaginable, like the 40s, the 50s. You see, seeing these dolls, I would expect to see this place full of girls, but I have yet to see them.
Now, this is called Dolphy, which is a mix of doll and figurine.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can buy like dozens of different shapes and figures for every piece of the doll that you create yourself.
That's right. An interactive doll fetish.
That's amazing.
Well, if you look over there, you can see all the varieties of wigs.
This is awesome. And here is an entire vitrine devoted to eyeballs. We should get a picture of that.
Of the eyeball case, yes.
So now I see, here's the violin carrying cases. That's interesting. It makes me now, as I've seen girls carrying violin cases on the subway, I thought, oh, there's much, the classical music tradition
you
is so alive and well.
Yes. Silly, Kurt. So let's head out to the street and get some fresh air.
Yes, I badly need some fresh air. So we're now a little bit away from where we were looking at all the figurines and cards and collectibles and electronics before. What happened at this intersection in June?
About 12:30 in the afternoon, this street was filled with pedestrians, and Tomohiro Kato, a 25-year-old laborer, drove his rented truck right through this intersection and ran over three people who died. He jumped out of his truck and started indiscriminately stabbing pedestrians on the side streets. And in all, he killed seven people and stabbed something close to 14 or 15. And it was a shock that it happened right here in the center of the kind of colorful, wacky world of Japanese popular culture.
So as these murders happened, was he apprehended immediately? Did people tackle him? What happened?
No. In fact, one of the shocks was that the police, in fact, he actually killed a policeman. One of the dead was a police officer who approached him and tried to calm him down. You know, this is not a gun culture, so people here were just stunned. But at the time, several pedestrians were standing at this very intersection holding up their cell phones, and some of them were actually streaming the footage onto the internet. So you could actually watch in real time on your computer as these bodies lay bleeding in the street. And this outcry went up in Japan that why did these people who were holding their cell phones not bother to help? And again, that sort of revealed the darker side of this hyper-advanced technological culture and the degree to which a virtual world can explode.
At our website, studio360.org, you can see a video of Roland and me exploring Akihabara.